Silk Sonic just dropped their debut album, An Evening with Silk Sonic. And of course, this is from the new R&B duo of Anderson .Paak and Bruno Mars. And it's very interesting to see them combine forces. And as hip hop listeners, we were pretty intrigued because there are some hip hop elements mixed in here. So if you guys are new to NFR, we're doing reviews like this on the weekly. So hit the subscribe button if you're new here and smash the like button to help this review reach more people. And of course, let us know your thoughts on the album in the comment section. So going into this album, it's the first non-rap album review that we do here. What were your expectations going in?
First of all, I think it's an honor to be able to do this. I'm a massive fan of Anderson .Paak. I love his catalog. I'm a massive fan of Malibu and Oxnard and Ventura. I've been waiting for this album for now over a year. So, I mean, the expectations were high. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a fan of Bruno Mars himself, but I've never really like analyzed a Bruno Mars album like this where like I went in, I was looking at different things he was doing. So it was definitely a treat. But guys, we do reviews differently here. So we actually have categories attributed to the album: artist performance, content, production, and instant replay value, which is obviously, you know, what we think about the album and how it's going to stick through our rotation. And then instead of using a numerical system to grade the album, we use words attributed towards our emotions. So bad, mid, good, great, amazing, and then perfect. So, I mean, going into this, man, I was super excited. I definitely wasn't disappointed, but let's start off with the artist performance. So where do you think they strived on this? Because the chemistry was undeniable from the get-go for me.
Yeah, to me, the chemistry between Bruno and Anderson was amazing. I mean, what's cool is that they share equal parts on this album. It's not like one artist overshadowing the other. And what's cool is that when one of the artists has, let's say, a lead vocal on one of the songs, the other one is usually providing background vocals or harmonizing over that song. And the way that their voices kind of combine is perfect because they have two of the smoothest voices that I've heard in a long time. And I mean, let's start off by talking about Leave the Door Open, because I think that this is one of the biggest moments on the entire album. And I love the fact that their pitches are very different. Anderson .Paak's is more raw. It's more in the mid-range. And then when you move on to that mid-range to Bruno Mars's falsetto singing in that high register, it's such a nice balance and it's a nice crescendo of pitches. And I just love the fact that they both hold their own and they both kind of have a different style in terms of their delivery on that song. And the notes that Bruno Mars is hitting are extraordinary. And like I said, the way that they kind of have different pitches was a really, I would say, nice blend.
It was a nice blend, and it kind of like, you know, showed their chemistry on what they were able to do, because throughout the album, like, I didn't want this to be a case where like Bruno Mars was just taking the whole runtime and then Anderson .Paak would have like certain, let's say, parts or like, let's say, bridges within it. No, I really wanted to see where both of them were going to be able to strive in their own respective lane, and where I think Anderson did his best job was probably on filling up these verses, and especially on, you know, Leave the Door Open. It's one of the hottest singles of the year. It's has over 600 million streams already on Spotify, and it dropped this year. And already,
it went number one, too.
And you already know like what Anderson .Paak brings to a song. Like, he brings this luxurious smooth talk that, you know, gets you in the tension and the sort of like, let's say, that emotional vibe already. Like, that's what I like about it, is that I almost feel as if sometimes he delivers his verses kind of like Barry White. Like, I don't know how to put it. It's just, it's so smooth, it's romantic. And the way Anderson .Paak is able to glide on every sort of flow, like, he was even hitting some Snoop Dogg and I believe like Andre 3K flows on a song, like, I believe it was
Fly As Me.
It was Fly
and
As
on
Me.
That song, yeah,
that was massive.
That
bro.
Second verse, if you go listen to Andre 3000 on Miss Jackson, the flow is kind of identical, so it's kind of cool to see him pay tribute to old OGs in the game. Not only that, but I just feel like the choruses and the hooks are super infectious on this album, very easy to memorize and very hypnotic, because you'll find yourself singing them after just hearing it once.
That's
or
so
twice.
Facts.
They stay locked into your head, so you know that these songs will get a lot of radio play for sure because of how catchy a lot of the hooks are. For me, the major highlight, I would say, vocally from the two of them would have to be on Put On A Smile, where they really display sorrow, emotion, you know, through their voices. And the song's kind of about heartbreak, and you really feel the pain, the sadness, the longing for their partner, and it's communicated so well through their deliveries and, I would say, the texture of their voices throughout that song. And there's a part at the end of this song where Bruno Mars stretches out these vocal notes and it gave me goosebumps. Like, it was amazing,
so good.
Man.
It was so good because it blends in so well with that, you know, that intimate, let's say, production that backs it. And we're going to talk about the production because it's a major part of it. But another big standout for me was the way that they were able to change up tempo at certain times. So, example, songs like Fly As Me or let's say 777 were needed because, you know, there's a nice pace to the album, but those were songs that really packed more of a punch, but that still did have, let's say, you know, elements of, like, let's say Bruno Mars is singing and then also some Bruno Mars rapping at certain points. And then Anderson .Paak was also kind of doing bridges and choruses with him. So I find then, like, those moments within the album, their chemistry is really shining because it allowed them to share that runtime. Like, this is only a 30-minute listen, and to be able to have both of these artists fully display their, let's say, skill sets, because they're both of the most talented artists right now in the industry, probably, you needed to be able to have that equal split on them. So I think overall the artist performance was just perfect. They didn't miss on anything. There was not an off note. There was not an off flow. There was not a time where a bridge sounded out of place. There was not a time where I was like, this doesn't really sound too good. It was perfect. Like, it was so well delivered overall.
It was definitely perfect for me. And I just love the fact that Anderson .Paak kind of comes in, takes care of more of the verses, brings in a lot of personality, a lot of flair, I would say, to his writing. And then Bruno Mars is just there for you to marvel at the way that he's hitting these fucking notes. Like, it's really amazing to witness. And to see them do this in the package of, let's say, a pop album or a funk album is really amazing because they made these sounds, feel fresh again. And we'll get more into that, into the production. But for now, let's actually talk about the content of the album. And this is interesting because I didn't expect there to be too much of a concept. I know in an interview that they put out, they said how they wouldn't be tackling any social issues such as the pandemic or the Black Lives Matter movement. They wouldn't be touching any of that. They would more be focusing on creating a vibe. But also within that vibe, from the very beginning with the Silk Sonic intro, they're setting up the stage for what this album is meant to be, as you have Boosty Collins narrating the whole thing. And he starts off by kind of saying, like, you know, welcome to the show. He's kind of welcoming you to this experience where they're going to be taking you through, would you call it a love tale to some degree?
Well, you know what I feel as if? I feel as if I'm at a jazz bar in the 70s, kind of watching a live performance of Anderson .Paak on the drums with his microphone connected, and then Bruno Mars right in the front. Like, that's how I feel about it. Like, they allow you to enter that sort of environment with them and that sort of universe, but they do it in a way that's not complex, because you don't want to have complex subject matter in here. You don't want to have anything touching the general vibe and the general, let's say, output of the album. Like, I feel as if that would kind of, you know, offset it. That wouldn't have had a nice ring to it. And especially, like, when you have a lot of singing, when you have a lot of smooth flows and basic lyricism, you don't want those types of things of, like, long verses. Plus, like, you know, this is not going to be like an Illmatic. Like, you know, this is meant to be, you know, an R&B and soul album, like, more focused on the singing aspect of things and harmonizing and delivering nice, cool, catchy flows. So I think that, yes, like, there's a lot of different subject matter as far as, like, relationships in here. And then you even see them, you know, sort of talk about how they don't even like paying for their women and stuff anymore, and how it's kind of a burden to them. But for the most part, like, it was very basic, but it was needed to be able to execute this album properly.
Yeah, 100%. But I also love the fact that, like, if you start off from the beginning of the album, leave the door open, they're trying to kind of seduce their woman and kind of get them to come over,
you know,
as they're
cool
feeling
about
lonely.
This was so cool about it is that I love what Anderson .Paak did on this first verse, because, you know, with his ad lib, he's following up to her answer, because then he's kind of going through the verse with you and, like, he's giving her different reasons why, you know, she could come kick it with him for the night. You know, like, oh, you know, my house is clean, I just took a shower, you know, I have a nice shaved face. Yeah. Like, everything's getting set up perfectly. So the way that Anderson .Paak was able to set up the environment there just with very simple writing, and then the way he was able to make you understand the way she was reacting to those comments with those ad-libs at the end. So, example, like, what you doing, where you at, oh, you got plans. And then he keeps following up with the ad-libs. I think that was
a conversation, almost.
Exactly. And, like, I don't expect that of an R&B album, but we do know that Anderson .Paak is a fantastic fucking writer.
Yeah,
so
and
it was good.
And speaking to what you said about the environment, I like that you said that, because they did create environment oftentimes. For example, just of that chorus of smoking out the window right there, that's a visualizer. You kind of picture them in the car, chilling out, laid back, smoking a cigar or whatever it is. And what's cool too is that there is kind of this narrative, you know, progression throughout the album if you think about it. Because take a song like After Last Night, where the guys are kind of obsessed with this girl after, you know, having a special night, let's say, with their woman. You follow up after with Smoking Out the Window, where they realize that the girl was kind of just a gold digger and wants them to pay for her jewelry, for her to take trips, her rent money, whatever it is. The girl was maybe using him for
it was cool
the luxury. So it was cool to kind of see the flip side of that. And then ultimately, man, I think that at that point, they should have just kicked him to the curb, to be honest. But
you know what's cool about it, too, is that they also allow themselves to show like emotional and raw pain throughout it with just such simple vocabulary. Like, as you were talking about in the artist performance with a song, like, let's say, Put a Smile On. Put on a smile, sorry. You know, it's just cool to see the way that they were able to, you know, change the tempo of the album just with some basic changes in writing. Like, it wasn't anything too crazy where, like, you got eccentric, like, let's say, vocabulary, but they were doing a lot. And this is my probably my favorite intro done by Bootsy, and I love what he said here. Oh, look here, fellas, take it from your Uncle Bootsy. Ain't no shame in begging in the rain. Tell her how you really feel. And that's facts, bro. That's facts. You know, like, I like that sort of playful content, but overall, it was good. I think the content was good. It didn't necessarily push any boundaries. It wasn't crazy lyricism, but in an album like this, you don't necessarily want that. You know, it fit in perfectly to the atmosphere that was created by both of their performances and then what we'll explain throughout the production. But yes, good content overall, and it was good to see them both be able to strive in different lanes here.
100%. So
let's do it, man.
Let's move on now to the production. One of the most important aspects of this album is the music behind it. And then, like, knowing going into this that, you know, Bruno Mars is an avid player of the guitar, knowing that Anderson .Paak could beat the fuck out of a drum set. I mean, you knew that you were going to get some quality live instrumentals on this, and that's exactly what you got. And I love the fact that, you know, they took a lot of sounds, such as live orchestras that were popular, let's say, in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, that old school kind of funk sound, and made it sound so new, made it sound so fresh. And a lot of the production was handled, of course, by Bruno Mars and by D Mile, and they did a great job throughout the project and making it sound so cohesive. But like I said, I think sonically, they knocked it out of the park because of that classic soul and funk that was really bred throughout it. And the compositions from song to song are really solid. Like I said, you have a mix of, you know, amazing instruments such as cellos, trumpets, saxophones, like everything you want out of an orchestra. It's all included into this. And I mean, talk about Thundercat's bass line on, you know, what was it, After Last Night?
Yeah, it was After Last Night. Yeah, that was absolutely fantastic because he, like, Thundercat loves to play a bass style more in the funk sort of area, and this is exactly what you needed for this album. So I saw someone on Twitter, I believe it was Dee Dee, shout out to her. She was like, you know, the two features that I want to see on this album are Andre 3K and Thundercat, and like, obviously 3K didn't happen, Three Stacks stayed home, but we got Thundercat on this, and obviously didn't disappoint. But I actually want to go to the piano melody on Leave the Door Open. Like, there's a reason why this album is going to be so commercially successful, and I think it's because of the underlying factors within the production that make it so catchy, especially, you know, the guitars. Look at something like, let's say, I believe it was Fly As Me. Like, that was fantastic because it had kind of more hip-hop oriented drums, but you got this really funky guitar that was being played in the background, and it already immersed you into the overall vibe. And I also think about this when I'm listening to the album from like a cinematic value. Like, I feel as if I'm in a jazz bar, I feel as if I'm watching a live show. Like, that the raw instrumentation is so vital here, because this is an album that's supposed to be felt. Like, there's raw emotion going into this. So if it would have been more digitalized, and like, there would have been, like, let's say, less of that element of raw instrumentation, there would have been that disconnect from the artist performance to the production. But in this case, it worked well because everything was handled in-house. And of course, like, you have one of the best drummers in the industry in Anderson .Paak, like, coming here and handling all of that. Like, that for me really set a whole new level for, let's say, the album's production and like how I feel about it. So overall, like, you know, it's just, it was fucking amazing from
start
to
finish. It was awesome.
Oh my God.
I also want to add in that I think that the production throughout the album is complex because of all these various instruments brought into it, but yet the vibe feels so laid back. Like, to describe the overall sound, it feels very bright, it feels lush, it feels comforting to a certain extent. And if you look at a song like Smoking Out the Window, you have these euphoric live strings, you have these violins glistening, like everything is meant to put you in a very peaceful environment, even though you have a mix of so many instruments. So I thought that they did a great job. And also, Put a Smile On, the work that Anderson did on the drums, on the percussion, it's really mind-blowing, and it really built momentum for that song as the speed of the drum playing, you know, increased throughout it. So like you said, I think it was amazing, and it's one of the best soundscapes I've heard this entire year.
That's facts. That is major facts. And a big part of this album too, sounding so good, is that you kind of feel like you're in a big mink coat and a Cadillac in the 70s. Like, kind of puts you in a cinematic sort of vibe. But you know, so far, you know, we've been loving the album, but let's get on to the last category, and that is instant replay value. So 30 minutes, 31 to be exact, 9 songs only, and overall, a very smooth listen. So I believe there's actually a lot of things to take into consideration here, because like overall, I mean, this is going to be one of my most played albums of the year and for the next years to come, because I know what happens with me when I get a new Anderson .Paak album, just his solo albums. I get hooked instantly. Like, I cannot put them down, and they're albums that I have to go from start to finish. So the fact that this now has the Bruno Mars recipe of that 9 to 10 songs with this, you know, smooth production, with the smooth deliveries and all the flows and singing and harmonies, man, what a fucking listen overall. Like, yeah. I can't believe
and it just felt like the perfect progression after hearing Ventura and 24 Karat Magic. Like, you had a lot of that funky style from both of them, that was kind of reminiscent of a 70s era. So I think it made perfect sense. And like you said, one of the smoothest listens of the entire year. The fact that it's 9 songs will make it so accessible for me. And they always have great replay value in their solo projects, and this is going to be no different. Like, some albums on first listen or even second listen, you just know already. It's like, for me, like, this is like a Pusha T Daytona situation where I know that this will be a timeless classic. Like, I'm sorry, not classic. Well, maybe. We'll see how it ages. But I'm saying I know it'll be a timeless listen because of the sounds that were introduced and how relatable a lot of the stories within the album are. Like, I just know that this will heavily be in my rotation for years to come. Like,
and this is going to be one of the best albums to drive to too, you know. Like, I can't wait to bump this next summer, because we're in Montreal and it gets pretty cold here, like, you know. But for the most part, like, you could even play this at a family barbecue. Like, this is nice at parties, chilling with friends. Like, this just, it has that replay value that's going to stick. And the radio play on this is going to be absolutely massive. So
you think that might make it make the replay value go down because you're hearing it everywhere?
No, absolutely not. Like, this is way too good of a listen for me to put this down. And I just think that they were able to knock it out of the park on every single area of the accessibility, like length, flow of it, the smoothness, like the ability to connect all kinds of different audiences with this, like all the different types of instrumentals. Like, there was so much that went into such a short track list that it's going to stick with a lot of people. And I definitely think they got it on the nose, man. The instant replay value is perfect on this.
Like, it is perfect.
There's what reason do you have to put this album down?
There's not a single skip, you know. No, what I mean, so not. I mean, I don't know why someone wouldn't want to play this. And of course, again, the fact that it's only 9 songs makes it so easy to dive into from track 1 to track 9. So I'm curious to know how you guys think it's gonna actually stick into your rotation. But moving on to our overall rating, how do you think this album is going to live on, and how do you feel about it overall?
Okay, so going back to the artist performance, I feel as if that blend of Anderson .Paak filling up those verses and then having Bruno Mars take care of more of the choruses and the bridges within the album was genius, because it allowed them to share the majority of the runtime on it, making them have perfect chemistry. I also love how both of them were able to use not complex vocabulary to be able to dip and dive into different, let's say, sort of subject matter while keeping it accessible as a listen. Like, there wasn't crazy lyricism in here.
Well, you don't expect that with like an R&B driven album.
But that's what it works out with, you know. Like, it was really focused on their performances. And I mean, one of the best produced albums that I've heard this year. I mean, everything from the funky guitars to Anderson .Paak's drums to Thundercat's bass line. Like, there was way too much going on in there for me to put this down. And overall, I mean, I think that this is an amazing album. It was an amazing listen. Like, I really don't think that this is going to have a gripe with me in the future. Like, I think that the only reason why it's amazing is because we gave the production amazing and the content good. You know, that's the only reason why we can't give it perfect, but
it's very close. Like, and I just love that this is kind of a tribute to old school funk and soul music from the 70s, and it was a big success in being a tribute to that style, because it's kind of a style that's faded away from the mainstream, but they're bringing it back into
pop culture,
bringing it back to the masses, essentially. And I just love the fact that this album really excels at being one of the best collaboration albums that we've gotten in recent memory, because you have a household pop artist like Bruno Mars mixed in with one of the most talented vocalists of our generation, Anderson .Paak. So logically, you know, we should have known that this album would be as good as it is, and we kind of did predict that it would be. And apart from that, I mean, from the luxurious scenery that they set up to the smooth singing, the fairy tale love stories about them missing their lovers, trying to get them back, having fun at a casino, for example. Like, there was just always an upbeat spirit towards this whole energy that they brought into the album. And I just love how versatile they are. Like I said, Anderson's rapping on here. He's harmonizing. He's singing. Bruno Mars is stretching out his vocal notes, and he's pitch perfect the whole time. Like, they really checked every box for me, and it met my expectations perfectly. I knew that this would be a great album, and it really was fantastic. It was amazing.
No, it was an amazing listen. And overall, like I said before, I think that this is going to be a great Christmas album too. Like, this is the thing. Like, I could play it in the summer, and I'm going to play it for Christmas, because like there's like that sort of like funk, sort of soul vibe.
I think it works for any season.
That's what I'm saying too. Is like, there's so many ways to access this album. So guys, we obviously loved it. Let us know how you liked it in the comment section, and please subscribe if you have not already. If you enjoyed this video, please hit the like button. It's going to help us out tremendously. And guys, let us know what your favorite song is. I'm interested, okay? Before we end this off, what's your favorite song, final?
My final favorite song, Put On A Smile.
Put On A Smile?
I love the emotion in that one, yeah. What about you?
I'm probably going After Last Night. I think that's probably my favorite right there. But guys, leave it in the comment section. We always like having a conversation with you. Thank you so much for watching this review, and we'll catch you on the next one. Thank you for watching the video. It's always a pleasure doing content for you guys. Listen, if you haven't already, subscribed to the channel, because we're doing album reviews, and we actually have our series called Everything We Know, where we take you guys through the whole album rollout of the hottest releases of the year. Not only that, guys, but our Patreon plan is now live. You guys could access that in the bio. I appreciate you guys, and I'll see you on the next one.